Chapter 2. Cassian felt as if he'd loosed an arrow at a sleeping fire drake. Nesta, bundled in that worn blue coat with her stained shoes and her wrinkled gray dress, looked him over and demanded, "What? As of this meeting," Feyre clarified, "you're moving into the House of Wind." She nodded eastward toward the palace carved into the mountains at the far end of the city. "Rhys and I have decided that each morning you will train with Cassian in Windhaven, in the Illyrian Mountains. After lunch, for the rest of the afternoon, you will be assigned work in the library beneath the House of Wind. But the apartment, the seedy taverns, all of that is over, Nesta." Nesta's fingers curled into fists in her lap, but she said nothing. He should have positioned himself beside her instead of allowing his high lady to sit on that couch within arm's reach of her. No matter that Feyre already had a shield around herself courtesy of Rhys, it had been there at breakfast, too. "Part of my ongoing training," Feyre had muttered when Cassian asked about the ironclad defenses, so strong they even masked her scent. "Rhys is having Helion teach him about truly impenetrable shields, so of course I have the pleasure of being the test subject. I'm supposed to try to break this one to see if Rhys is following Helion's instructions correctly. It's a new kind of insanity, but one that had proved fortuitous. Even if they didn't know what Nesta's power could do against ordinary magic." Rhys seemed to be thinking the same thing, and Cassian poised himself to jump between the two sisters. His siphons flared in warning as Rhys's power rumbled. Cassian had no doubt Feyre could defend herself against most opponents, but Nesta... He wasn't entirely sure Feyre would hit back, even if Nesta launched that terrible power at her. And he hated that he didn't know if Nesta would sink low enough to do it. That things had become so bad that he even considered the possibility. "I'm not moving to the House of Wind," Nesta said. "And I'm not training at that miserable village. Certainly not with him." She threw him a look that was nothing short of venomous. "It's not up for negotiation," Amryn said, breaking her vow to keep out of the discussion as much as possible for the second time in so many minutes. The eldest of the Archeron sisters had a talent for getting under everyone's skin. Yet Nesta and Amryn had always shared a bond, an understanding, until their fight on the barge. "Like hell it isn't," Nesta challenged, but didn't attempt to stand as Rhys's eyes flickered with cold warning. "Your apartment is being packed as we speak," Amryn said, picking at a speck of lint on her silk blouse. "By the time you return, it will be empty. Your clothes are already being sent to the house, though I doubt they'll be suitable for training at Windhaven." A pointed glance at Nesta's gray dress, bigger on her than it had once been. Did Nesta notice the faint glimmer of worry in Amryn's smoky eyes? Understand how rare it was? More than that, did Nesta understand that this meeting wasn't to condemn her, but instead came from a place of concern? Her simmering stare told him she considered this purely an attack. "You can't do this," Nesta said. "I'm not a member of this court." "You seem to have no qualms about spending this court's money," Amryn countered. "During the war with Highburn, you accepted the position as our human emissary. You never resigned from the role, so formal law still considers you an official member of this court." A wave of her small fingers and a book floated toward Nesta before thumping onto the cushions beside her. That was about the extent of the magic Amryn now possessed. Ordinary, unremarkable high fey magic. Page 236, if you want to check. Amryn had combed through their laws for this? Cassian didn't even know such a rule existed. He'd accepted the position Rhys had offered him without question, not caring what he was agreeing to, only that he and Rhys and Asriel would be together, that they would have a home that no one could ever take from them. Until Amarantha. He'd never stop being grateful for it, for the High Lady mere feet from him who had saved them all from Amarantha's rule, who had returned his brother to him and then brought Rhys out of the darkness that lingered. "So, here are your options, girl," Amryn said, delicate chin rising. Cassian didn't miss the look between Feyre and Rhys, the utter agony in his High Lady's face at the ultimatum he knew was to be presented to Nesta, and the half-restrained rage in Rhys's that his mate was in such pain because of it. He'd already seen that exchanged look once today, and hoped he wouldn't see it again. Cassian had been eating an early breakfast with them this morning when Rhys had gotten the bill for Nesta's night out. When Rhys had read each item aloud, bottles of rare wine, exotic foods, gambling debts, Feyre had stared at her plate until silent tears dripped into her scrambled eggs. Cassian knew there'd been previous conversations, fights, about Nesta, about whether to give her time to heal herself, as they'd all believed would happen at first, or to step in. But as Feyre wept at the table, he knew it was a breaking of some sort, an acceptance of a hope failed. It had required all of Cassian's training, every horror he'd endured on and off the battlefield, to keep that same crushing sorrow from his own face. Rhys had laid a comforting hand on Feyre's, squeezing gently before he looked at Asriel, and then Cassian, and laid out his plan, as if he'd had it waiting a long, long while. Elaine had walked in halfway through. She'd been toiling in the estate gardens since dawn, and had been solemn as Rhys filled her in. Feyre had been unable to say a word, but Elaine's gaze remained steady as she listened to Rhys. Then Rhys summoned Amryn from her attic apartment across the river. Feyre had insisted that the order come through Amryn, not Rhys, to preserve any sort of familial bond between Rhys and her sister. Cassian didn't think there was one to begin with, but Rhys had agreed, moving to kneel at Feyre's side, wiping away the remains of her tears, kissing her temple. They'd all left the table then, giving their high lord and lady privacy. Cassian took to the skies moments later, letting the roaring wind drown out every thought in his head, letting its briskness cool his pounding heart. This meeting, what was to come, none of it would be easy. Amryn, they'd agreed, had always been one of the few people who could get through to Nesta, whom Nesta seemed to fear, if only slightly, who understood somehow what Nesta was deep down. She'd been the only one Nesta had truly spoken to after the war. It didn't seem like a coincidence that in the past month, since they'd argued on that boat, Nesta's behavior had deteriorated further. That she now looked like this. "One," Amryn said, raising a slender finger. "You can move up to the House of Wind, train with Cassian in the mornings, and work in the library in the afternoons. You will not be a prisoner. But there will be no one to fly or winnow you down to the city. If you want to venture out into the city proper, by all means go ahead. That is, if you can brave the 10,000 steps down from the house." Amryn's eyes glittered with the challenge. "And if you can somehow find 2 coppers to rub together to buy yourself a drink. But if you follow this plan, we will reevaluate where and how you live in a few months."
"And my other option?" Nesta spat.
Mother above, this woman? Female? She was no longer human. Cassian could think of very, very few people who would defy Amryn and Rhys. Certainly not in the same room, certainly not with such venom. "You go back to the human lands." Amryn had suggested a few days in a dungeon in the Hewn City, but Feyre had simply said that the human world would be more than enough of a prison for someone like Nesta. Someone like Feyre, too. And Elaine. All 3 sisters were now High Fae with considerable powers, though only Feyre's were let loose. Even Amryn had no idea whether Elaine's and Nesta's powers remained. The cauldron had granted them unique powers, different from the other High Fae. the gift of sight to the former, and the gift of... Cassian didn't know what to call Nesta's gift, didn't know whether it was a gift at all, or something she had taken. The silver fire, that sense of death looming, the raw power he'd witnessed as it blasted into the King of Highburn. Whatever it was, it existed beyond the usual array of High Fae gifts. The human world was behind them. They could never return, even though all three of them were war heroes, each in their own right. The humans wouldn't care, would stay far, far away if they weren't provoked to violence. So, yes, Nesta might technically be able to return to the human lands, but she would find no companionship there, no warm welcome or town that would accept her. Wherever she was able to find a place to live, she would be essentially housebound, confined to the grounds of her home for fear of human prejudices. Nesta turned to Feyre, lips pulling back from her teeth. And these are my only options? Feyre caught herself before she could say the rest. I'm sorry. And squared her shoulders, became the High Lady of the Night Court, even without her black crown, even in Rhys's old sweater. Yes. You have no right. Nesta erupted. You dragged me into this mess, this horrible place. You are why I am like this, why I am stuck here. Feyre flinched. Rhys's rage became palpable, a pulse of night-kissed power that tightened Cassian's gut, every warrior instinct beaten into him coming to attention. That's enough, Feyre breathed. Nesta blinked. Feyre swallowed but didn't balk. That is enough. You're moving up to the house. You're going to train and work. And I don't care what vitriol you spew my way. You're doing it. Elaine needs to be able to see me. Elaine agreed to this hours ago. She's currently packing your things. They'll be waiting for you when you arrive. Nesta recoiled. Feyre didn't relent. Elaine knows how to contact you. If she wishes to visit you at the House of Wind, she is free to do so. One of us will gladly take her up there. The words hung between them, so heavy and awkward that Cassian said, I promise not to bite. Nesta's upper lip curled back as she faced him. I suppose this was your idea.
It was, he lied with a grin. We're going to have a wonderful time together.
They'd likely kill each other. I want to speak to my sister, alone, Nesta ordered. Cassian glanced at Rhys, who leveled an assessing stare at Nesta. Cassian had been on the receiving end of that same stare a few times over the centuries, and did not envy Nesta one bit. But the High Lord of the Night Court nodded.
We'll be in the hall.
Cassian's fist tightened at the implied insult that they didn't trust her enough to go farther than that, despite the shield on Feyre, even if the rational, warrior-minded part of him agreed. Nesta's eyes flared, and he knew she'd understood it too. From the way Feyre's jaw tightened, he suspected she wasn't pleased at the subtle jab. It wouldn't help convince Nesta that they were doing this to help her. Rhys would be getting the verbal beating he deserved later. Cassian waited until Rhys and Amryn rose before following them out. True to his word, Rhys walked 3 steps down the hall, away from the wood doors spelled against the eavesdroppers, and leaned against the wall. Doing the same, Cassian said to Amryn,
I didn't even know we had laws like that about court membership.
We don't. Amryn picked at her red-painted nails. He swore under his breath. Rhys smiled wryly, but Cassian frowned toward the shut double doors and prayed Nesta didn't do anything stupid.
Nesta held her spine ramrod straight, back aching with the effort. She had never hated anyone so much as she hated all of them now, save for the King of Highburn, she supposed. They'd all been discussing her, deeming her unfit and unchecked, and... "You didn't care before," Nesta said. "Why now?" Feyre toyed with her silver and star sapphire wedding ring. "I told you, it wasn't that I didn't care. Everyone, had multiple conversations about this, about you. I decided that giving you time and space would be best."
"And what did Elaine have to say about it?"
"Part of her didn't want to know." Feyre's mouth tightened. "This isn't about Elaine, and last I checked, you barely saw her either." Nesta hadn't realized they were paying such close attention. She'd never explained to Feyre, had never found the words to explain why she'd put such distance between them all. Elaine had been stolen by the cauldron and saved by Azriel and Feyre, yet the terror still gripped Nesta, waking and asleep. The memory of how it had felt in those moments after hearing the cauldron's seductive call and realizing it had been for Elaine, not for her or Feyre. How it had felt to find Elaine's tent empty, to see that blue cloak discarded. Things had only gotten worse from there. "You have your lives and I have mine," she'd said to Elaine last winter solstice. She'd known how deeply it would wound her sister, but she couldn't bear it. The bone-deep horror that lingered, the flashes of that discarded cloak, or the cauldron's chill waters, or Cassian crawling toward her, or her father's neck snapping. Feyre said carefully, "For what it's worth, I was hoping you'd turn yourself around. I wanted to give you space to do it, since you seem to lash out at everyone who comes close enough. But you didn't even try."
"Perhaps you can find it in yourself to try a little harder this year."
Cassian's words from 9 months ago still rang fresh in Nesta's mind, uttered on an ice-slick street blocks from here. "Try." It was all she could think to say.
"I know that's a foreign word to you."
Then her rage had ruptured from her. "Why should I have to try to do anything? I was dragged into this world of yours, this court."
"Then go somewhere else."
She'd swallowed her own response. "I have nowhere to go." It was the truth. She had no desire to return to the human realm, had never felt at home there, not really. And this strange new fey world? She might have accepted her different, altered body, that she was now permanently changed and her humanity gone. But she didn't know where she belonged in this world either. The thought was one she tried to drown in liquor and music and cards, as often as she used those things to quell that writhing power deep inside. Feyre continued. "All you've done is help yourself to our money."
"Your mate's money."
Another flash of hurt. Nesta's blood sang at the direct blow.
"Thank you so much for taking time out of your homemaking and shopping to remember me."
"I built a room in this house for you. I asked you to help me decorate it. You told me to piss off."
"Why would I want to stay in this house?"
Where she could see so precisely how happy they were, where none of them seemed remotely as decimated as she'd been by the war. She'd come so close to being a part of it, of that circle. Had held their hands as they'd stood together on that morning of the final battle and believed they might all make it.
Then she'd learned precisely how mercilessly it might be ripped away. What the cost of hope and joy and love truly was. She never wanted to face it again, never wanted to endure what she'd felt in that forest clearing with the King of Hybern chuckling, blood everywhere. Her power hadn't been enough to save them that day. She supposed she'd been punishing it for failing her ever since, keeping it locked up tight inside her. Feyre said, "Because you're my sister." "Yes, and you're always sacrificing for us, your sad little human family. You spent 500 gold marks last night." Feyre exploded, shooting to her feet to pace in front of the hearth. "Do you know how much money that is? Do you know how embarrassed I was when we got the bill this morning and my friends, my family, had to hear all about it?" Nesta hated that word, the term Feyre used to describe her court, as if things had been so miserable with the Archeron family that Feyre had needed to find another one, had chosen her own. Nesta's nails bit into her palms, the pain overriding that of her tightening chest. Feyre went on, "And to hear not just the amount of the bill, but what you spent it on."
"Oh, so it's about you saving face."
"It's about how it reflects upon me, upon Rhys, upon my court when my damned sister spends our money on wine and gambling and does nothing to contribute to this city. If my sister cannot be controlled, then why should we have the right to rule over anyone else?"
"I am not a thing to be controlled by you," Nesta said icily.
Everything in her life from the moment she was born had been controlled by other people. Things happened to her. Any time she tried to exert control, she'd been thwarted at every turn. And she hated that even more than the King of Hybern. "That's why you're going to train at Windhaven. You will learn to control yourself."
"I won't go."
"You're going. Even if you have to be tied up and hauled there, you will follow Cassian's lessons. And you will do whatever work Clotho requires in the library." Nesta blocked out the memory of the dark depths of that library, the ancient monster that had dwelled there. It had saved them from Hybern's cronies, yes, but she refused to think of it. "You will respect her and the other priestesses in the library," Feyre said, "and you will never give them a moment's trouble. Any free time is yours to spend as you wish. In the house." Hot rage pumped through her, so loud Nesta could barely hear the real fire before which her sister paced. Was glad of the roaring in her head when the sound of wood cracking as it burned was so much like her father's breaking neck that she couldn't stand to light a fire in her own home. "You had no right to close up my apartment, to take my things."
"What things? A few clothes and some rotten food?" Nesta didn't have the chance to wonder how Feyre knew that. "Not as her sister said, 'I'm having that entire building condemned.'"
"You wouldn't dare."
"It's done. Rhys already visited the landlord. It will be torn down and rebuilt as a shelter for families still displaced by the war." Nesta tried to master her uneven breathing. One of the few choices she'd made for herself, stripped away. Feyre didn't seem to care. Feyre had always been her own master, always got whatever she wished, and now it seemed Feyre would be granted this wish too. Nesta seethed.
"I never want to speak to you again."
"That's fine. You can talk to Cassian and the priestesses instead." There was no insulting her way out of it.
"I won't be your prisoner."
"No, you can go wherever you wish. As Amron said, you are free to leave the house, if you can manage those 10,000 steps. Feyre's eyes blazed. "But I'm done paying for you to destroy yourself. Destroy herself. The silence hummed in Nesta's ears, rippled across her flames, suffocating them, stilling the unbearable wrath. Utter, frozen silence. She'd learned to live with the silence that had started the moment her father had died. The silence that had begun crushing her when she'd gone to his study at their half-wrecked manor days later and found one of his pathetic little wood carvings. She'd wanted to scream and scream. But there had been so many people around. She'd held herself together until the meeting with all those war heroes had ended. Then she'd let herself fall, straight into this silent pit. The others are waiting, Feyre said. Elaine should be done by now.
I want to talk to her.
She'll come visit when she's ready. Nesta held her sister's stare. Feyre's eyes gleamed. You think I don't know why you've pushed even Elaine away? Nesta didn't want to talk about it, about the fact that it had always been her and Elaine, and now somehow it had become Feyre and Elaine instead. Elaine had chosen Feyre and these people and left her behind. Amryn had done the same. She'd made it clear on the barge. Nesta didn't care that during the war with Hybern, her own tentative bond had formed with Feyre, forged over common goals. Protect Elaine, save the human lands. They were excuses, Nesta had realized, to paper over what now boiled and raged in her heart. Nesta didn't bother replying, and Feyre didn't speak again as she departed. There was nothing to bind them together anymore.